Hello, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. Joining me today, as always, from the D.C. area, Sean Paul Ellis. What's good, man?
David, I'm great. How about yourself?
Oh, man, we're talking about Sean's pick this week, which we'll get to in a second, so we'll see how that turns out for him. Also joining us, completing this fantastic trio, Matt Barron. What's up, man?
What up?
Yeah, good to see you guys. So, without further ado, I'm pretty much just going to turn this one right over to Sean, who's going to take us into the history of... Sing it.
Dinosaurs.
Oh, I thought you were going to sing,
Oh, wait, did you think I was going to say, like, dinosaurs?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I was waiting for the guitar, too. There it is. This theme song, so we posted the theme song on the website. definitely check that out, because it's only like a minute long. First of all, the intro explains the entire show, everything you need to know, which we'll talk about in a second.
It's nothing but exposition, guitars, and just the phrase dino saucers.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Sung in like an 80s glam rock fashion.
It's so good. It'll get in your head immediately.
It is so beautiful.
Oh, man. But if you've pieced it together by now, dino saucers will be the topic of today's conversation. And to give us a little bit of a history on that, we're going to turn it over to Sean because it's his pick. So take it away.
Oh, man. Well, this wonderful show was co-produced by the United States and Canada, and it was created by our friends at Deke Entertainment.
Thanks, Deke.
It was originally aired in the U.S. in 87, and it went for a total, again, this is a reoccurring theme for all of these shows that we watch, a total of 65 episodes.
Magic number.
Okay, this blows my mind. And it lasted one season, and it was broadcast during 87 to 88.
Well, and here's the thing. It was only like, I don't know if I had this in your show notes, and I apologize for this. Matt and I were talking about it offline. One season, fine. It was literally 3 months. It was from September 14th to December 11th, I believe, of 87, and then it ran a little bit further in 88 as syndication. So, yeah, so you're talking...
And it ran daily.
Yeah, you're talking every weekday for 3 months in the fall. Dinosaurs.
That is a lot of dinosaurs. It is crazy. Now, I think the thing that that Dave and Matt and I had talked about is that we want everybody to please keep in mind that this... aired in 87.
Right.
So this is before a lot of, I guess, noteworthy cartoons that people, as we discuss this show, and they're just like, oh, that sounds like a very similar element to this show. You are correct.
Yeah, there's a
and
ton
you
of
should
stuff.
Think that way. You should think that. But the interesting note is that this show came out before a majority of those programs.
Yeah, so unless they crossed producers or crossed writers or something along the way. Yeah, it's really strange, though. It's really strange to think it came first.
So you can find a majority, the 65 episodes, you can find all 65 of them on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll post them for you guys.
If you are like, man, I need to watch them like in not on YouTube for some reason, you can purchase the first 21 episodes on Amazon.com.
I got to cut in again because this is completely my fault. I gave Sean erroneous information. This was on their wiki page. I went to Amazon to try to like check them out today to see if I could watch, you know, one episode for a dollar or whatever, just because I couldn't find them.
Oh, really?
They are... totally not available anymore. I don't know why. They had him up for like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they had him for like...
I saw him up, too, yeah.
Wait, did you actually see him?
No, I saw the link that... because I was just like kind of Googling stuff about this.
Yeah, doing our research.
And there is, an Amazon link to... basically just takes you to the page and says they're not available.
Yeah, it's on like IMDb.
You'd want to take
it's everywhere.
That link down.
Yeah, you would think. Well, maybe there's not a lot of people clamoring for dinosaurs and complaining.
I guess interestingly enough, I'm looking at the page right now, and like you can see that there are. It says season one, and it has the first.
Is it 21?
It has the first 21 episodes that are up and they're available, and it just says like next to each one of them, it just says unavailable.
So does that?
So if you want, you can add that to your watch list, and I guess whenever they become available, check it out. But in the meantime, oof, man. What a bummer.
Yeah, what a bummer. And I take the onus for that when I set Sean up. So
no, it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, kids, do what I did. Just watch them on YouTube. Don't pay money for this crap.
Definitely do not. And Sean even suggested this one.
Like, really, don't pay any money to watch this show.
Well, right? let's get in and tell the people what the hell this show is even about. So, I don't know what, you know, if you hear the word dino saucers, I don't know what you think. Maybe you think saucers like, you know, flying spaceships. Dino is pretty obvious, I would think. You're not too far from the truth there. That's really all it is, dinosaurs from outer space. That's pretty much what it is. So, of course, they come to Earth. Now, they don't exactly crash land here. They kind of gently hover down, as we see in the intro.
They just sort of show up.
Yeah, they just show up. They make friends with some kids. What's up, guys? Only this group of kids, this group of four or five kids. And yeah, nobody else knows about them, really. They just have their own kind of, like, weird adventures. So
this is the amazing thing, is that throughout the series, they just show up. And, like, people are, like, not even, like, people are either phased by the fact that, like oh, my God, dinosaurs.
Right.
Or they're just like, oh, it's a dinosaur.
No,
like,
it's a dinosaucer.
I get it. Different. Like, yeah. this world is so bizarre, because you would think that other people would have one reaction or the other. But people have such, like, people have such different reactions to seeing these, like, dinosaurs. And they're just like, either they're just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Or they're just like, let me see how I can swindle these dumb dinosaurs into doing something ridiculous. And it's so crazy.
So we'll get into that in a little bit once we get to some of the plots, and especially once we discuss the characters. We're going to give you guys a bit of a description of, like, what these things kind of look like, because they're not just dinosaurs. We'll get into that a little bit. But the basic stuff you need to know. This show follows dinosaurs, the good guys, against the bad guys, Tyrannos. Okay? Tyrannos. They're really pushing the creativity on these names here. They're basically both just kind of like humanoid dinosaurs. So they're not like, you know, they're not the T-Rex from Jurassic Park or from Dino Riders. They're kind of like human-shaped things that look like dinosaurs. All right, so they've all got different attributes and characteristics, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But for whatever reason, they land here on Earth.
All these attributes we should mention are just dumb.
Oh, they're all pretty
they're
dumb.
Dumb.
We'll get to them too when we talk about the characters themselves. But basically, they come here from a planet similar to Earth, known as Reptilon. Again, really pushing the creativity here.
Yep.
So they're on Reptilon. It's very much a Transformers kind of story where they escape Cybertron. The bad guys are pursuing the good guys for different reasons or whatever. So basically, they bring their battle to Earth and they make friends. The dinosaurs, the good guys, make friends with a group of four kids that just happen to be out hiking around in their crazy primary colored jackets and matching jumpsuits.
In the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. Just,
like,
in a mountain
what the
at
fuck
night.
Are these kids doing
it, it was like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but they were like hiking that mountain in like the Arizona desert or something, and just like, oh, the dinosaurs showed up and they shook my hand and they gave me this cool ring and now I'm a secret scout. So that's what you need
now,
to know.
If you're thinking to yourself,
yeah,
wow, that does sound a lot like the Transformers plot, you are correct.
Yep.
And I think in some ways you can definitely say, yeah, they totally rip this, like, good versus evil, escaping from their home planet, and they crash land on Earth, like, trope that is present in a lot of these.
Yeah.
Like, we saw it in Dino Riders.
Oh, man, it's everywhere. Like, a lot of 80s stuff. Yeah, Thundercats even did a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, if you're thinking, wow, that sounds really similar or familiar, yeah, let's note that as the first. That is the first similarity to another cartoon that you should note. The second one, oh, they happen upon a group of kids and they gave them magic rings? That sounds a lot like Captain Planet.
Yeah.
You are correct.
You are 100% correct.
This happened. You are 100% correct.
I noticed this when I was going over the intro, and I don't even know what the hell time of night it was, but I was like, you guys, they got the same rings. I was very excited about this. So
yeah,
I screen capped both of the rings from the various intros, and I showed them. Now, again, like Sean mentioned earlier, Dinosaurs was first. I don't know. I cannot wrap my head around
Captain
that.
Planet didn't come out until 93.
Yeah.
This came
Six
out
years
in
later.
87.
So Captain Planet, if anything, ripped off Dinosaurs. Now, my friends, if you're going to rip something off, do
don't
a better
rip
job.
Off dinosaurs.
God.
Well, maybe, or it's the perfect plan, you know? I mean, it ran for 3 months. Probably nobody watched it. So,
except Sean,
you know,
apparently.
It's the perfect source material.
Yeah. Oh, I watched the hell out
of
this
show. I do
show.
Remember this show, and I think 90% of what I remember is, again, common theme, common occurrence, the theme song. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about the theme song first, since that's our first introduction, or do you want to talk about the characters a little bit?
Let's talk about the theme
let's
song, because, I mean, it's the first thing you're hit with,
right.
And, I mean, like, the characters are very tertiary in this show. Like, they are all forgettable, just doofuses. And it just doesn't matter. Like, they are all just mutants. And it just, no, who cares? Like, the theme song is the best part of this whole show. Good.
And just the recurring, like, reappearance of it whenever it – during, like, scene changes or, like, when, you know, a plot comes together and is about to be hatched, like, you know, it just – the dinosaurs thing. I'm like, this is great. Yeah. Like, this is making the show watchable.
It really is.
We were talking about, like, the way that, like, some of the shows, like, how cops used, like, that, like, sexy cops, like, badge, Star Wipe, where they were just like, cops. Like, this, like Matt said, for pretty much a majority of the episodes, like, once you get past, like, the 3.5 to 4 minute mark where, like, they're like, we should go do something, and we need to respond to, like, something that's happening, and, like, they get in their, like, their cruisers or their
we'll get into them in a minute, because
like
I love those,
God. Like, they get in, like, something, like, some action, they will be in some mode of transportation going to do something.
It's like a montage.
And then it'll just, like, dinosaurs! And then just, like, fade in the background. I'm like, this is their fucking Star Wipe. Like, this is their
they
Star
Wipe.
Milk
the shit out of that theme song.
Whoever made it
is not working on commission. They got paid to do that, and they were done. They cut the check, and that's it. Because these guys, I watched one episode. You guys watched, like, three. In the one episode I watched, I heard it at least four times. No exaggeration. So,
and here's the thing, if you were that piloting, was not enough. It was not. I could have listened to it at least another four times.
What were you going
to
say, Matt?
If you were piloting one of those crafts, though, wouldn't you want that music just blasting?
I'll tell you what, it hypes you up.
I want that in my car playing all the time.
Yeah. And it's easy. It's like three notes. It's one word. Anybody can remember it. And it really hypes you up. And it irritates everyone around you when you start singing it, unless they join in. It's a good time.
It's my Rocky theme song.
It's a good time, man. It
really
is.
It's if I need to get pumped up for something, I play Dinosaur.
I'll tell you what, I got a joke for you guys real quick, and the listeners joining in. Sean, don't you,
I love this joke,
because I know you know it. I'm going to ask Matt and see if he gets it. Matt, what would you say is a dinosaur's favorite dessert?
Oh, a dinosaur's favorite dessert?
Yes, sir. Favorite dessert.
I don't know.
Oh, it would be Dinosoft Surf. I had been holding on to that for a week since Sean picked this show. I woke myself up laughing in the middle of the night with this joke.
Oh, my God.
So that's the level of nerdery we're
talking. When you text messaged this to me, I rolled.
I told him. I was like, I prefaced it. I was like, you have to sing the answer. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I had to get that out. Okay. All right. Well, that's our theme song.
All right, let's talk about
this
theme song.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it. That's the theme song. Now, the intro, however, has a little bit more to talk about. Don't you think? You think the intro? Because the intro is our exposition of the entire series. Because once we get into episode one, nothing is explained. You are presupposed to know exactly what's going on by the time.
Like, if you were looking for, we talked about this earlier, like, if you were looking for, like, if you were Googling, like, in medias res, and you were just like, I wonder what would be an interesting execution of that literary device. Like, this is it. The first episode of Dinosaurs, like, if you didn't pay attention during
the
1 minute intro.
Yeah, if you showed up a minute late, you got
you're
nothing.
Done. You're like, what the hell is that? This is a brand new show. I've never seen this before. What's happening?
I messaged Dave this morning when I started watching them, and I was like, hey, is the first episode, like, did they just, like, not explain anything?
Yeah, we thought we had,
like,
the wrong
no
links or the wrong, like, episode numbers or something was screwed up. Or sometimes, the way when they produce these, like, en masse, when they're producing these 60 episodes or whatever, their order gets jumbled because, you know, they have a football game that comes on a weird time, or they have, like, a holiday on a certain day. So sometimes their release schedule gets jumbled. Nope, not in this case. At least as far as IMDb goes, these suckers are all in a row, Monday through Friday, September through December, and then done. So...
Yep.
Whatever, man. They just drop you straight into Dinosaur Valley in this first one. So it's a good thing we have that theme song. Matt, do you want to kind of walk us through that intro and kind of how the plot of this thing is kind of laid out? Do you remember watching it?
Yeah. Okay, cool. So basically, from what I can tell to the 60-second intro to a 65-episode show was that you know, basically the dinosaurs, you know, still the classic, like, you know, good versus evil, right. The dinosaurs and the tyrannos enlist the help of four Secret Scouts, right. Which is, you know, why even bother calling them Secret Scouts? You might as well just, like, you know, it's the most obvious name.
And generic.
What their purpose is. Yeah, exactly. So there's four of them, Ryan Spencer and Sarah Spencer, who are like the classic 80s stereotype white kids.
Yep. They both suck.
They both suck. And then there's Paul and David.
Paul is amazing. And David is an asshole.
Yeah, David is kind of like a douche canoe, but Paul is he's the first one you see, and it's like he's sitting in a lab in the beginning of the first episode, and I was like, I just missed 5 minutes of this show.
Yeah, it looks like it's just cut to shit, like the editing is all off or something. Nope, that's what it is.
Yeah,
Paul is the only person around there in the Secret Scout that's, like, actually doing anything.
And Paul is apparently, these kids have, like, their own crazy base, and Paul's just like, oh, I don't know where everybody else is, but I'm in charge of this giant cutting-edge technology in the base. So,
yeah. Well, he wears the glasses, that's dude, so he's the nerd.
Very true. Okay, so I want to mention how these kids, these Secret Scouts, actually meet the dinosaurs again. So this is not explained in the show whatsoever. It is explained in the 60s.
So in the intro, the dinosaurs land.
Right.
They shake hands with these four people.
Which at this point, I need to say, like, okay.
Like, no exposition, just handshake, hand them over a ring, and apparently it just all becomes immediately evident.
Now put yourself in the shoes.
These kids are awesome diplomats.
Put yourself in these kids' shoes. They're maybe 10, 12, somewhere around there, maybe a little older. You say you're out, you know, you and your Goonie friends are hanging out, walking around, hiking the mountains in Arizona at midnight or whatever. You see this alien spacecraft land right in front of you. Okay, maybe you're not scared yet. You want to go investigate. Cool. The hatches open up from these alien spaceships, all right? These giant, like, 8 to 10 foot tall humanoid dinosaurs come walking out in full, like, space high-tech body armor, just come walking
out. And I can't wait to talk about their dumb body armor, too.
Yeah, and their names and their everything about them. We'll get into that in one second. Now, you would think, like, oh, shit, maybe I should not walk up to them directly because they look like dinosaurs. Maybe I should do anything else but just gingerly walk up and shake their hand. And that's exactly what these kids do. And it's, again, it's not explained at all. They're just like, whoop, walk right up to them, shake their hands. Oh, I got this sweet ring. I don't know what that means. I guess I'm a secret scout. Let's have an adventure. So, on one hand, it's kind of endearing because it's kind of the 80s thing of just like, here's a crazy premise and you're going to run with it or not, so let's just do it. On the other hand, it's just kind of like, what the fuck? Yeah, so whatever. So those idiot kids just walk up and they meet these dinosaurs. Now, we should probably talk about the dinosaurs and the Theranos a little bit. So let's start with the dinosaurs because they're the good guys.
Here's the thing is that, like, we spent so much time talking about these dumb, forgettable secret scouts. Yeah. That, like, you have to realize that, like, when you watch the theme song, they are, like, the highlight. You think to yourself, like, oh, my God, like, it's going to follow around the exploits of these secret scouts. No, it's not. Like, they stink. Like, fuck them. Like, they are so fucking forgettable. It is amazing. Like, the dinosaurs are obviously, like, who the show is about.
Yeah.
And obviously the titular characters. But, I mean, like, from watching the intro, I was like, oh, my God, like, these secret scouts are, like, they're going to be doing all the same kind of, like, work that, like, the kids do from, like, Captain Planet.
Yeah, it's like the Planeteers
going around.
Going around doing shit.
Like, no, like,
these kids are just basically
secret
scouts. Yeah, they show up and they're like, oh, here's how you get over this bridge. Here's how you turn this thing on. Here's...
The only thing I think we should mention about these forgettable miscreants is the fact that, like, the rings that they're given, like, boost their powers. Who cares?
Boost their powers?
They get power boosts.
Oh, that's good to know, because a couple times I was like, who are these kids that are just, like, gymnastically, like, launching themselves over rivers and, like, flying into the air? I'm like, what the fuck? So, okay, that explains stuff. Thanks, dinosaurs, for not explaining that in the show.
But here's the best part about it, is that, like, they never use it in, like, a combat situation where it would be advantageous
for them.
No, they
use it in, like, a pitch jumping situation.
Oh, I should just jump across these vines. Yeah. Like, shut up.
Back. Everyone go back. We're better off without you.
Give me your ring. You're retired.
But yeah, let's definitely talk about the dinosaurs themselves, because at one point they were going to be, I think there were some toys maybe that came out. They were definitely destined for a toy line.
Oh yeah, so they created Gloob, which is my favorite toy line name ever. Like, they had produced, like, some prototypes for it, but they had never, I don't believe that they ever released I don't think you can actually buy them.
Okay.
Like, or nor could you buy them. Like, they only made prototypes.
So if you got them, hold on to them. Wait for Antiques Roadshow to come around. Take them on that side.
Get that heirloom hour. Check them out.
That's good stuff. Yeah. So our dinosaurs here, they're led by a fellow by the name of Aloe. Not Aloe like aloe vera, but Aloe like A-L-L-O.
Although I do need to tell you, Dave, Aloe's wife, her name is Vera. V-E-R-A.
Well, there it is.
Yeah, dude. Yep.
There it is. Apparently they have a daughter named Aloetta, which, god damn it. And apparently they have a maid named Gator Maid, according to Wikipedia. I hate this so much. I hate this so much. Oh, apparently Aloe is also... I'm reading this for the first time, so this is raw reaction.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently Aloe is the nephew of the Dino Sorcerer and Dino Sorceress, who are the rulers of Reptilon.
Nope.
God damn it. So he's their leader. He's kind of a doofus, though. Would you agree?
Oh, every single one of the dinosaurs is a doofus.
He does say at one point, we'll get into the episode, too. They basically were talking about, like, their pre-existing state, like the de-evolved dinosaurs. He's like, my one advantage over this dinosaur is my brain is easily twice the size of his. I'm like, that's not...
Yeah, but like dinosaurs' brains were the size of a pea. If you have like two peas, that's you're still good.
You got
fucking
a pod.
Idiot.
Your brain is a pod. That's not good.
You got a snap pea. Congratulations.
Yeah, well done. You're 1/64th of a stir fry. It's not...
Yeah, and all of them were ridiculously stupid.
Oh, they're all stupid. And the weirdest thing about this
the leader was pretty good.
The
but,
smartest
I mean,
of
the other ones, yeah,
guys.
Like the ones that were really kind of like memorable and then immediately forgettable were Brontothunder, Bonehead, and Stego.
Yep.
They were the ones that I saw, I think occurred the most in the episodes that I watched. But, Stego and Bonehead were basically, just completely like.
Yeah, they're pretty
dull. They were just completely stupid.
They're really dull.
Comically stupid, but it's like that whole like dino-evolving thing that I know we're going to get to later. Yes. You'd think if the, physical features evolve, perhaps the intellect should have been included, but nay.
And you would think, okay, listen, so these are humanoid dinosaurs, right? They're flying their spaceships through space and able to land them, not crash land them, but land them just fine on Earth. And then speak English and converse with these kids, give them a superpowered brain. You would think maybe they've evolved some sort of intelligence. Well, once you start watching the show, and like Sean said, nothing really revolves around the Secret Scouts. Everything revolves around the dinosaur creatures themselves. Because you spend a lot more time with the bad guys for some fucking reason that I don't understand. They're stupid. They're all stupid. They can't figure anything out. I don't understand what the hell's going on. It makes me very angry, actually.
Like,
it's
here's
just,
the thing. Is
it's
that,
salting.
Like, they have developed interstellar travel to be able to travel. Because like, you find out later that like Reptilon is on the same orbit as Earth. It's just on the other side of the sun. And so evidently NASA hasn't figured that one out.
I love these little tidbits that I'm hearing for the first time. This is amazing.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed this. So good. Like at one point, like they're just like, oh, we need to... So I should preface this with saying episode 65, they send Stego... to go grocery shopping on Reptilon.
Because they've run
and
out
so
of plot
like,
by now.
Because they've like run out of what? It doesn't matter. Ugh, it's so dumb. So they run out of everything. And so they send Stego. And so they're just like, don't use the flying saucer to buzz people's houses and think that they're a UFO. I'm like, you are fucking exposing yourself to everybody. Yep. Also, he is quite possibly, he's the... If we're ranking this in terms of a hierarchy of how dumb they are, he is one step up from being the dumbest.
It's pretty close.
And they're just like, go grocery shopping. They're like, what's the worst that could happen? And, oh my God, so many bad things can happen. Like, why would you allow? Why would you? You meet the Secret Scouts.
Yes.
And you think to yourself, like, oh man, like they're going to have this like crazy rewarding relationship with the dinosaurs where they're going to learn so much. No, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs
the kids are, the
are
smart
just
ones.
Like, the kids are the smart ones, and like they are teaching the dinosaurs like basic human interaction about stuff, and it is sad.
So just none
it
of it.
So
none
sad.
Of it makes sense. Nothing makes sense. Ugh. So yeah, let's. We'll, so we already talked about Secret Scouts. Talked about the dinosaurs. Since the first episode, for whatever reason, gives us a lot of time, a lot of screen time with the Tyrannos, which again are the evil dinosaurs. Let's talk about those.
If you couldn't have immediately guessed.
Yeah, you couldn't figure that one out. And guess who leads them? A T-Rex character by the name of... Go ahead, I'll let somebody else take this because I can't
Genghis
even,
Rex.
I can't even... I cannot even handle
it
this.
It is so good.
God.
The thing that cracks me up about this is, like, when you see Genghis Rex, like, he's red and it's, like, just the weirdest red ever.
It's like Red Skull red. It's like very...
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's the only person that I took... Like, when I looked at his armor, I was just like, oh my... Is he wearing like a barrel? Because it looks like crooked staves on the top like, of his body.
Seriously.
He's co-opted
and
a barrel.
The bottom of his body
it's like a skirt.
Is like a cod piece with fucking jean shorts on him.
Well, it was the
80s. He's like a never nude. Like, I was losing my mind every time. Oh my God!
Genghis Rex crazy. Just blew himself. Anyway,
yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, but yeah, the other guys so not much better. Now here's the thing: I had a tough time keeping their names straight. Genghis Rex, pretty easy. But the rest of them, because everybody had like nicknames for each other, so everybody calls him Bossasaur or Bossasaurus. All right?
Right.
So that's one nickname you've got. While these guys are
going on their adventures, they also call them your scaliness.
They've got all these stupid nicknames. They do this thing, the writers thought it was funny to just add, like, a-saurus to everything. So when they're insulting each other, you're like, you're an idiot-a-saurus, you're a dumb-a-saurus, or something's really big. Oh, that's a size-a-saurus.
Well, then don't watch episode 2 because they do
even
it
worse?
Nonstop. They do it for like a solid minute.
That's the other thing. That theme song just cuts in whenever it wants. Whenever it's a little slow or a little, you know, whatever, cuts right in. Montage time. So we're going to do that throughout the episode.
Thank God.
Yes.
So for like the first episode, it's Genghis Rex. He's the leader. And then you have Ankylo. He's an Ankylosaurus.
Yes.
They have Quackpot, which I can't wait to talk more about Quackpot. And they have Brachio, which is just a Brachiosaurus.
And Staracco. Staracco is my favorite name. Staracco.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love the name. Because when Genghis Rex would say, it'd be like, Staracco, just go do this. And I'm like, oh, Staracco, that's pretty cool. I like Staracco. I mean, Quackpot, come on.
Crackpot. I mean, we should talk about, because there's this, in the first episode, there's this scene where, like...
Yeah, we'll get into the first episode now, I think, yeah.
The group of them are, like, they are talking about, like, what they're going to do, and, like, they have found some energy source, and they are, like, heading towards it because they want, like, they don't even know what it is. They have no idea. They're, like, we've determined that something is an energy source. They're, like, well, we should go there because it's a weapon.
Yeah,
here's the best thing about that, too. When they're landing, you get a full view of the spaceship that they're in.
This is the Tyrannos.
It's a giant dinosaur.
The Tyrannos fly T-Rex. Around in a giant red mechanical T-Rex. That's like
and,
us.
And then the, yeah. Exactly.
Well, that's like us flying around.
I drove around in a car that looked like...
It's like us flying around in the Statue of Liberty or something. It's like just like a giant statue of ourselves, and then we just land, and then a tiny version of it walks out. It's like, whoa, wait, what the hell is happening? God.
So, they get ready to go and do this thing, and, like, they're all pumped up. Like, all the Tyrannos are excited about doing this, and they seriously laugh for, like a solid 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's like a wall
to
of
the
evil
point
laughter.
Where,
yeah.
To the point where it's uncomfortable to watch it.
But then it's hilarious because they stop and then start again.
Yeah, and they don't even, like, look at each other. You'd think, like, make kind of a joke. Like an in-joke or like a self-referential thing. No. It's almost like they just re-edit that laugh over the same footage. It's very strange. Very kind of
eerie.
And then at one point
they all stop and Quackpot just goes, this guy's insane. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like that stares
directly
at
the camera too. It's really, really creepy.
It's like a weird breaking the fourth wall, like nonsense. So weird.
A lot of nonsense going on. But yeah, so it sounds like we're jumping ahead in this episode.
It doesn't
not
matter.
At all. No. We're really not jumping ahead, like, whatsoever. Like,
yeah, we're jumping
T-Rex
45 seconds into the show.
Yeah.
So at this point, they've all gotten in a mode of transportation and just dinosaurs.
Yep. Action montage.
And that's like, they're all heading out.
And somehow, like, Paul, the only, like, redeemable one of this entire bunch,
he's the best.
Yeah, he's the best. He, like, radios to Allo. He's like, hey, dude, just want to let you know, Tyrannos are up to some shit. At this point, as viewers, we're like, what's a Tyranno? Why is this kid talking to a dinosaur? What the hell is happening? And he's like, yeah, they're heading to, like, South America or something. I'm not sure what's going on. And Allo's like, oh, let's see if any of the other scouts are in the, you know, in the neighborhood of South America. They somehow, like, reconnoiter everyone to this this one particular area. But we spend 50% of the time with the Tyrannos. 50% of the time with the bad guys. I don't think I've ever seen anything done quite like that before.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, is that, like, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And also, the reason that I think they're doing it is because these secret scouts are boring as shit.
It's so thin.
These dinosaucers, these heroes are dumb as shit.
Yep.
All right? And then the Tyrannos are just like, yeah, we got plans. Like, we got stuff to do.
We're going to get some ore for some reason.
We're spearheading this episode.
That's right.
If you're on board, like,
just come on,
jump on my giant red T-Rex and let's
just
that out.
Fly into this. Oh, it's like a whispered background. I like it.
That was nice. You're welcome.
Cops. So this episode is called Dinosaur Valley, correct? Dinosaur Valley.
Correct.
Okay, let's talk about this mess. Now, these are hyper-evolved dinosaur humanoid creatures that have mastered across
interplanetary.
Right, because they're just in our neighborhood, apparently on the same orbit, just in our shadow, which is the stupidest goddamn thing. Anyway, so they've mastered this stuff. They've landed on Earth. They want to go get their ore for whatever. They find this, like, hidden valley that opens up, and there are actual dinosaurs just lumbering through Dinosaur Valley, as you do.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
If you were 1987, thinking yourself, like,
dinosaurs.
If you were thinking to yourself, like, holy crap, that's kind of similar to what Dino Riders was like. Or if you were just like, oh, my God, Centurions had an episode that was almost identical to this.
Yeah.
Like, you are 100% correct.
The dino craze.
This show fucking came first.
Yeah. They really capitalized on the dino craze of the 80s. My favorite part is how they handled it, though, okay? So, Dinosaur Valley in Centurions, what are they? They basically just found their way back. Well, what, the bad guy, Doc Terror, didn't he want to use them as, like, his army of dinosaurs to, like, rule the world or whatever? Oh, he wanted to make them into dino robots, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, the Dino Riders wanted to brain box them.
And then the bad guys. Yeah, the Rulons wanted to brain box them. Yeah.
I don't know what episode of Centurions this came out on, but Centurions did come first. So there is the possibility.
It was early. It was like two or three, so it might have been.
No, it was like only the year before. It was 86.
Okay. But I mean.
So like the next year. So I mean, like, there's no way that, like, I mean, while one was in production, one was being, like, actually drawn.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the chances of them stealing from one another is, like, insane. But, I mean, just the fact that they have such similarities and, like, oh, we came upon this, like, new world, and it's, like, it's all there. And, I mean, it's all Land of the Lost.
And it's
all,
well, yeah, it's, like, definitely Land of the Lost. And even the animation looks kind of the same. I feel like they might have just, like, shared random, like, screen coverage of dinosaurs in a valley and just, like, handed it off. Like, yep, there it is, same dinosaurs.
Yep, in a valley. There you go.
But I love the way...
Deacon's just like, let's just reuse whatever we have.
Exactly. I love the way that the bad guys see this, like, golden opportunity, though, because they're all identical. Every bad guy is identical. Doesn't matter if you are an actual dinosaur or not, you want to enslave the dinosaurs and use them in whatever your military situation happens to be, whether it's against the Dino Riders or against the dinosaurs or against humans. That's what you want to use. Every bad guy wants to use these dinosaurs. And Genghis Rex, exactly the same. He looks at these dinosaurs. Here's my favorite part. He sees the valley. He goes, dinosaurs, the old kind. God damn it. Might have been when I was...
That was so good.
I might have been super done with this show at that point, and that's about 5 minutes
in. The thing that kills me, too, is, like, I feel like Genghis Rex, like, his voice was so stereotypical of, like, an 80s wrestler.
Yes.
Like, the entire time. Like, I was losing my mind. Like, at one point, I just wanted him to be like, oh, yeah, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and just, bust into a Hogan. I was just like, oh, my God.
Well, the theme song could have been used for one of those wrestlers. That would have been pretty good, too. But, yeah, so now you've got Genghis Rex, hyper-evolved dinosaur creature who wants to enslave his ancestors, basically. Wants to enslave them. To help battle the... So anyway, the dinosaurs' good guys get word of that, and they try to, like, find the Tyrannos and catch up with them in their place. I loved how the dinosaurs got into this hidden valley. Do you guys remember this part?
Oh, the part where they're just like, oh my god, there's like this giant field with all this stuff, and they're like, it'll take us hours to smash through it.
Yeah, you gotta, like, bushwhack through it and machete our way through. Nope. Thanks, Secret Scout, because how do they do it?
It's actually just a fake screen, and they can just pick it up, and they can just walk underneath it.
She said something like they're all air plants. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is an air plant?
look, here's the thing. Sarah sucks. So just, I wouldn't take anything Sarah said.
But it's just the weirdest. It's like, I know, Sarah's the worst. But it's the weirdest thing to watch because there's like all this jungle in front of him. And then Sarah just like picks it up like it's a drop cloth or like a screen or something. And they just walk underneath it for a few seconds.
That's it.
And they're bumping into each other. And they're just walking underneath this ground cover. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Very like, something in the writer's room was just like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. They just walk under the foliage. Next, who cares? None of them care.
Doesn't matter. No,
none of them care. Yeah.
So, like, they get...
Break out the collars. Time to break out the collars, right?
So, yeah. So, the Tyrannos, like, have these, like, collars, which, again, is, like, identical to Dino Riders brain boxing.
Yeah, they're called Collars of Control. They even have a name for it.
Yeah. It's like they weren't even trying. No. It's like they have, like, this gun that they can shoot these collars of control, like, around dinosaurs' necks, and it, like, instantly enslaves them.
It turns them into dumber versions of themselves who just listen to whatever. I want to give Matt a chance to talk about Dino Evolving when we get there, because he mentioned it earlier, so...
And so, well, here, I'll segue into it. And so, like, it's one of those things where, like, they get there and they're just like, oh, my God, like, how are we going to get it? Like, Genghis Rex is clearly holding, like, the control box for all of these.
Yeah, all the collars.
Control collars. Right. And so Allo just says, like, I'll dinovolve. And somebody has to get close enough.
Yeah, and at this point,
to be able to get it out of his hands. And so he's just like, "Well, I'll dinovolve," and you're like, "Wait, what the hell is that?
Has he done this already? What
you know,
the hell?
Like, you don't know. This is the first time you're being introduced to it, so don't worry about it." And so, like, they're just like, "Do you really think that that's such a good idea?" And as the leader, he just his words of encouragement are like, "Well, you won't know until you do it."
Yep, he's like, "Well, not until we try."
That's a hilarious plan, buddy. Exactly.
So, Matt, maybe you should tell us what exactly this dinovolving is.
Okay, so dinovolving is something that the dinosaurs can do with a little control that's on their body armor. And the first time I saw the outside of the control, I was like, is that the Fantastic Four logo?
Yeah, it looked pretty similar.
I was like, pretty much. What is that? Like, somebody is getting sued
on
right
our
now.
Planet, this symbol means hope. Anyway, yeah, exactly. Stole that from Man of Steel.
But so it, you know,
it's
they
the swastika.
Too soon.
Whatever.
Where are the Nazi dinosaurs? That's what I need to see next. Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
Oh my God,
stepping on your toes.
That was episode 54.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, but so like they open up like the little like thermostat control on their vest, like. Push the back arrow, I believe, which must be the devolve button.
Of course, yeah.
The reboot.
Oh. Exactly. And they go – basically, he just turns into an Allosaur, and it's not like a full-size, you know, regular,
old-kind dinosaur.
But what's hilarious is it's not like, oh, I need to, you know, take off my armor or I need – you know, it doesn't grow with you. Nope, just disappears.
Yeah, just folds up into the collar all nice and neat.
Yep.
It's like the Hulk.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Not even like the Hulk. The Hulk at least shreds his pants and stuff. But, yeah. So, I gotta ask you guys. Maybe you paid a little bit closer attention, though, I did than this one. At one point, they say, okay, so Allo's plan, devolve, look like a regular Allosaurus, get collared, blend in with the other, like, slave dinosaurs, get the control box, and everybody's cool. Now, at one point, the other guys, the dum-dums who are sitting in the bushes just watching this whole thing, they're like, he's got to do it soon because the dinovolving has a finite, like, time limit. Did that come into play again, or did the collar that Genghis Rex put on him, did that, like, negate something?
Yeah, the collar prevented him.
Okay.
Collar prevented him from turning back into Allo.
I'll tell you what.
I guess de-dinovolving.
Yeah, de-revolving. I don't even know. I'll tell you what. That might be the most intelligent piece of writing in this show because I missed it, but I kind of paused it. I was like, oh, maybe that collar. So thank you for confirming that I'm at least as smart as the writers of Dinosaurs. So that's that's good to know. Man.
But, like, here's the best part, is that, like, he has this plan, like, Allo has this plan to be able to, like, get close to it, and then 2 seconds later is immediately, like, collared and doesn't have control. Like, the idea was that maybe he was thinking maybe, like, if I dinovolve and I get collared, maybe I can override the collar and still get close enough and, like, totally fake him out. Doesn't work
nope,
that way.
Sure
like
didn't.
He dinovolves, gets collared, and is just one of the herd.
So at this point, it's up to the scouts, the two scouts, and the other idiots to try to like rescue him and save all the other dinosaurs.
Yep.
And hijinks ensue. I think that's honestly the best way to just segue through all the mess that happens, because it's just hijinks ensue.
Except I have one quote.
Sure.
Like, Bronto Thunder is, he is, aside from having like the best name out of all of them.
Starracko. I still like Starracko. Yeah,
nah, I gotta go with Bronto Thunder on this one. Bronto Thunder, yeah, because they call him BT a lot. I like that as well. Yes. So, like, he is, like, the Eeyore of the group. Like, yes. Again, I keep pulling up these Eeyore tropes every time we watch this.
Well,
but, like,
because there's always just, one to pull up, yeah.
There's always one depressing shit that's just like, let me complain. And, like, he falls into, a lake at one point, and he gets covered in, like, stuff. And then he, like, very, like, excitedly proclaims
that was tar.
Yeah, it was tar.
Boiling tar.
It was
when they were swinging on the vines. No. First they were swinging on the vines.
Falls in the river, and he just goes lunch, and they're like, we don't have time.
Hold on. So in the beginning, the kids were teaching him how to swing on the vines. He falls in the tar, and he was pissed about that. But yeah, boiling tar. Right. He's fine. Later, he didn't just fall into the river. The scout was just like, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna trick this idiot into crawling into the river so he can form a fucking bridge so I don't have to swim across. So I can jump on
his... You have to realize, like, they have athletically jumped 20 to 30 feet at this fucking point. Like, there is nothing preventing them from continuing to do this shit.
So they lure like,
Let's
this
just
idiot.
Turn Broadside Thunder into a human dino bridge.
The poor guy. Like, he's like, I don't really want to.
Yeah, they're like, oh, shut up. They're just like, you know,
she
just
tricks him into
there.
Like taking
like,
a bath. She's like, you've worked hard today.
Is depending on
right,
you.
Right, right, right.
So like he like his head like goes underwater at one point, and he comes up, and he's got like all this like
all the algae and like
algae
ferns
and
stuff,
like fauna like in his mouth and shit like that. And he just proudly like proclaims. He just goes lunch, and they're like, Bronto, we don't have time for that. And he just goes, and this is my favorite quote of the whole episode. He just goes, this is the only good thing to happen to me today, and I can't even enjoy it.
I know. I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
Poor guy.
I hope this spinoff was him just kind of moping around.
Just followed by a little gray cloud. Yeah.
Just like putting a bunch of candles around like a bathtub and then like a razor blade on the side and then just going, oh, maybe today will be the day.
Oh,
like it was
goodness.
Just such a sad guy.
If
like,
you want to look for Sean's rendition of that, his DeviantArt rendition, it'll be on our Tumblr page later on. Definitely check that out. It might already be out there. I don't know.
It might be there. So it's just so sad. Like he can't like do anything. Like he just gets so depressed and mopey in just about every episode. And you're just like,
well, speaking of that, I want to give you guys a chance to talk about a couple other episodes that you watched, because I only got to watch this first one. That was plenty for me. As you might have guessed, the good guys kind of win out at the end of the day on the first one.
my only problem about them winning out at the end is that, like,
the Tyrannos walk away.
Yep, walk
yes.
away.
Like, literally walk away.
What?
He's like, well, we'll see you next time, guys. That's pretty much what they did. Yeah, just let them walk.
Yeah,
like, Genghis Rex
like,
just had,
know,
like,
more,
a,
like, a...
Yeah.
It wasn't like a Dino Riders, like, you know, kind of sneaky getaway or like a, oh, we better retreat and we're riding away on dinosaurs. Nope, it's
next
just like
time gadget. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, I kind of pictured, you know, when you're like standing at the crosswalk with somebody, you know, and you're awkwardly standing there waiting for the signal to change. Like that's the kind of walk away we're talking about.
So if you're standing at the crosswalk and a dinosaur walks up to you, just let him go. It's best to just let him go, or shake his hand and get a sweet, sweet ring. But I want you guys to jump in and just anything you want to talk about from those other episodes you watched, because unfortunately I missed them. So
okay,
you
anything
watched
episode two,
out?
Right, Matt?
Yeah,
yeah, I watched episode two, which is Take Us Out to the Ball Game, and
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean. Episode one was at least, you know, interesting because, you know, first episode, okay, I've never seen this before. The second episode was just a sharp decrease for me. It was, you know, just completely ridiculous, although you did get to see a new Tyranno that wasn't in the first episode. Now I can't remember what his name is. He was the one they, like, called him a warthog or something like that.
Oh, Anklo.
Yeah. So, I mean, you do kind of get to see that there are other, you know, Tyrannos, Dinosaucers, but who was it? Stego and Bonehead. What do they go to?
They go to they go to the Houston Ball Diamond
Astrodome.
They go to the Astrodome. Okay. Jesus.
I mean, I figured take me out to the ballpark or whatever it was. I just figured ball game.
Yeah.
No. So yeah.
The whole idea of this is that it becomes confusion because the dinosaurs want to learn more about baseball, and so they go to a baseball diamond.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
that's a
where
keyword.
There are thousands of people.
Right.
Okay. But they just like they have to just break and enter into the place. Like they don't need like they ask. They're just like, oh, we're just gonna go to the ball diamond. Yeah. Like we're just gonna break into this like you know this major league ballpark, and we're just gonna play baseball here.
All right. That's what you do in your second episode of a series too. Is you you get your characters
like,
to play baseball.
The thing that I took away as being a impressionable youth is like I could just break into shit. And have zero consequences.
Just go play baseball wherever you want.
And maybe I'll meet a dinosaur.
And the Tyrannos become confused because they want to procure diamonds.
Of course,
because
I was waiting for
diamonds are like the most precious thing that people have. And so the reason that the Tyrannos feel that they are not successful is because they don't have any allies. And so what they want to do is they want to procure diamonds in order to purchase allies and make them more successful in like fighting the dinosaurs.
It's such a weird
because
weird
the dinosaurs
show.
Have the secret scouts as allies, and that's why they're successful. Like, ugh,
just
it was
what,
so.
I mean, at least if you're gonna do the good versus evil kind of tropes and stuff, stick to what has worked, man. Like, don't what is this stealing diamonds to make allies? Like, I'm glad I didn't watch that one. But anyway,
yeah, no, you saved yourself 20 minutes.
Boy,
so. Yeah.
So any other gems? Dinosaurs.
Now it just for me it really peaked with the theme song.
Yeah.
Oh, I
agreed.
I watched the last
episode.
Yeah,
what was that about? Did they wrap anything up or?
No. There was absolutely no resolution to anything that happened at all. It wasn't like there was any like definitive end to the show. It's just like you assume that after December 11th, 1987, that the dinosaurs and Tyrannos just continue on in infamy,
just
forever.
Having adventures.
It wasn't even like a Sopranos at like finale. they just rolled credits. It was just like a hard like bam, we are done.
I like to think
55 episodes cleaning my hands of this.
I like to think that they moved to Hollywood and Denver. Was no longer the last dinosaur. That's what I like to think.
That'd be nice.
You know, in my dream cartoon world, I think that'd be nice.
I should say that the last episode was called The Friend.
Oh boy.
And like I said, it's all about Stego going to grocery shop at Jesus. Raton. And so he heads out and he finds this boy like in a field playing and like he's like observing him and watching him, and then he sneezes, and the boy just like proudly proclaims. He just goes, "If you guys are bullies, you're gonna come out and beat me up. Just come on out and get it over with."
Well, good for
you're
you,
like,
kid.
What? You're like, what the fuck is going on with this? So Stego comes out, and like the boy is convinced that Stego is an imaginary.
Yeah,
like,
he's
dinosaur.
Like he's like the. Puff the Magic Dragon or something over there.
Yeah, and so like he convinces himself
Pete's
of
dragon.
This,
yeah.
And then goes on a madcap fun adventure with Stego to Reptilon to go grocery shopping.
Moral of the story is dinos and kids are the best of friends.
It was so
always
insane.
Always works out well.
It was like, and at the end, like Stego drops him off and is just like. All right, well, I'll talk to you later. And the kid's just like, well, won't you come back and be my friend? And he's like, no.
Oh.
Like, that's it. I was like, oh, my
end
God.
Of series. Nope.
Wow. It's just a bathtub with a bunch of candles.
Oh, terrible, terrible,
just
terrible.
Like, it's so, like, it was so ridiculous. Like, this kid, at one point the kid says to Stego, he goes, I have a lot of imaginary friends. And the kid, Stego's just like, well, where are they now? And he's just like, well, they all kind of don't hang out with me anymore. They're all kind of gone.
Stuff.
And he's like, he goes, and that's kind of why I have to play by myself, because none of the other kids want to play with me. And I was like, oh, my God, who was working out some personal issues as they were writing this
episode? There was a suicide in the studio, though. What? That is not good.
Like, I think it was written by, what was it, Bill Fawcett was the guy who wrote this episode.
You got to check on him.
What, Bill, what is going on with you that you were like, there's some shit,
Bill,
that is
buddy,
going on
if
right
you
now
need to talk, need to we're here. Out. We're like, here.
Oh my God, dude. Like, it was so sad. And then just the end where he's just like, well, won't you come back and hang out?
Nope.
No.
Yep. See
you later. And that's the end of the entire series.
Jesus. Well, Matt, did you have anything else from the episodes that you watched? Any little gems you want to throw in there quick?
You know, honestly, no.
I love it. You're always like, honestly, no. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that candid response, candor.
Nope.
Yes.
Are we going to recommend this at all? Or?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, you know.
On what grounds, sir?
I recommend watching the first minute of any episode and then just turning it off and moving on with your
running
life.
Away.
You have 65 chances to get that right. So,
I think this is something like, I mean, this show is obviously, it has many faults. I think if you can watch, if you watch Dinosaur Valley and you're just like, okay, this seems interesting.
Yeah.
Sure. Continue on. But just realize that, like, not only is the writing going to continue to, like, be poor and, like, droll and just ridiculous, but, like, the animation is going to get, like, degrade.
Never
over
get
time.
Better.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
It doesn't.
It
get,
had that
it actually
very
gets worse.
Like 1980s Japanese stereotypes, like the flashing laser intro, and you know.
Yeah. Oh, you can tell as soon as you see it. It's very stereotypical. Yeah.
I mean, almost like identical to Cops. Like the intro is the best part of the entire show. Just watch the intro. If you like the first episode, I recommend episode 65 because
really?
It's so depressing. Like if you just want to sit there and be like, oh my God, like things might be going wrong for me, but like at least I'm not this little kid in this episode.
In a field.
Like, yeah, sure. Watch episode 65.
Look, I will say this, and I surprised myself by saying this. I will recommend, again, checking out the first episode only because, as we've talked about, there are a lot of elements that you think this show stole from everybody else. When in fact, it almost seems like it could potentially be the other way around.
Right.
That I think is worth exploring and worth like just looking at and keeping in mind that this show, it looks like it preceded those. Some by like 5 or 6 years and some by maybe a year or two. So that I think is interesting. So it's almost like they had some decent creative talent around that had some good ideas that just did not all work for this particular show because they were just so batshit. Like it was just so disjointed and so weird. But they use them for later shows. So that's kind of cool. The show overall, I couldn't watch any more of it. But, yeah. So there you go. That's Sean's suggestion for the week. So
hey, man. I'm going to continue to just...
Dino it up?
Throw out Dino, you know,
we're
the agenda last
them,
time for
exhausting
me.
Exhausting them and, rapidly.
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, there's still so many dinosaur-related 80s cartoons. Like, whew. At least the next 5 picks for me are going to be all dino related.
God damn it. We might have to find a rotating star for Sean. If anyone else would like to join us on the show, please contact us at Saturday Morning Cartoons.
Yeah. Start sending in headshots for audio only.
Yeah, exactly. Send a voice recording. Give us your best. Oh, that would be amazing. Give us your best Dino Saucer theme song rendition. And your best Frank Welker impression. I don't even care. Pick a person, pick a creature, pick a good sound. I don't even care. Send it in. We're not actually going to give you anything or replace Sean or Matt or myself, but what the hell? It'll be fun.
Yeah,
actually, you know what? I'll say this. If you send in a great audition and it's better than what I can do, then you get my spot. Like, that's how this works. Like, I will.
That's
I'll,
not
I'll,
how
I'll
this
give
works.
You the spot. Like, I'll give you the spot.
Not how this
I'll
works at all. But we will play the spot on the show. I can work that in. That'd be a hell of a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
What the hell, man? Give us your best dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Moving on. Do you guys have anything else in the real world coming up? Sean's going to be doing an unplugged performance of cartoon theme songs coming up this weekend.
That theme song acoustic style would be hilarious.
It would be sweet. It'd be like very like Dashboard Confessional, kind of slowed down, very very angsty, so emo. Oh, I can hear it already.
Yeah, I know.
It's so good.
So good.
So good. Unplugged. Nah, do you guys have anything coming up?
Yeah, I'm going to be performing. I'm going to be doing improv comedy in Washington, D.C. this coming Saturday, August the 2nd, nice. At 8 p.m. with Knox. We are doing our own spin on TED Talks called Knox Talks. We've done 4 shows so far in this run of shows, and they have been a blast.
Excellent.
So please come and check us out if you're in the D.C. area. You can find tickets on WashingtonImprovTheater.com. That is www.WashingtonImprovTheater.com. And that's going to be August 2nd at 8 p.m.
Cool. Matt, how those stories coming along? Any news on that front?
Yeah, I just haven't gotten around to posting them yet.
Oh, that's cool. So they're ready to go. You're just kind of waiting to time it properly.
Yep, just waiting to figure out exactly how I want to get them up.
Sweet.
But yeah, that's it.
Cool. So since I will say that I'm kind of recovering from a Comic-Con weekend. So you guys, as you're listening to this podcast, are probably all pretty well caught up with Comic-Con stuff. But in case you want to go back and see some of the footage and some of the news and some of the craziness or panel recaps with your favorite stars or directors or writers, head on over to Collider.com. We got a ton of content. I feel like I posted, I'm not even exaggerating, like 100 stories just in the last couple of days. And that's just from me. So, like, there's a lot of stuff over there, guys. A lot to comb through. Pretty accessible. You can kind of search around and check it out. So head on over there. Get the latest on Comic-Con. And we'll have more stuff coming up.
I was a big fan of your article that you wrote about Mad Max.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, I posted the man, this will be a few days old by the time you guys are hearing it. But yeah, the Mad Max Fury Road trailer. It was just nuts. So check that out if you're a fan of the old movies or just want to see what it's all about. But it's insane. It's as insane as some of these cartoons we talked about. So yeah.
So good.
Collider.com. Sean, where can we find you on social media for more info about your improv acts?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sean Paul Ellis.
And Matt, where can we find you for your series of writings?
On Twitter at MattSF07.
Hashtag bag of sandwiches.
Send
bag of sandwiches to him all the time. You can find me at Dr. Claw, MD. You can find more on Saturday Morning Cartoons at SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. And again, spell morning with a U, because much like Sean's favorite Eeyore characters, we are mourning the passing and zipping stuff up. Mourning the passing.
some of these
bizarre shows.
Nailed it.
So it's morning with you. We've also got our Tumblr page, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. You can find us on Twitter at MorningTunes. And if you want to send in those headshots, those audio samples, SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. Now, very special selection coming up next week. It's not really that special. It just happens to be Matt's turn. Matt, do you want to let the good people in listener land out there know what they're going to be listening to next week? One of my favorites.
Next week's episode will be coming to us from the net.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to be doing Reboot.
Yeah.
Say it again. Sean trumped you.
Reboot.
Say it again.
Reboot.
There we go. I just want to make sure that was clear for everyone. Reboot. Yeah.
Reboot.
So that's what we'll be doing. I'm looking forward to that one because that's a different kind of animation, at the bare minimum, different kind of animation than we've talked about before. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Do you not remember that one fondly? I certainly do.
I loved
it. Okay, good. We'll see if that one holds up.
I'm a huge fan of Reboot.
Yeah. All right. So before we close this one out, I'm going to let Sean take it away with another rendition, including Keytar, of the Dinosaucers theme. Take it away.
Dinosaucers.
Wonderful.
Dinosaurs.
Thanks for joining.